technical issues. But I am Rebecca Decker from TestingMom.com, and I want to welcome you to the TestingMom.com teleseminar tonight. Tonight we have Michael McCurdy and fitness guru Dustin Marr, where Dustin will share tips on how to get your child fit for testing. Unfortunately, Karen cannot be on the call tonight, but she sends her apologies. Dustin has helped over 5,000 moms from around the world and has many different workout videos and programs. And tonight, he'll tell you about fun and simple exercises that you can do with your kids to make them smarter and healthier. And remember to keep a pen and paper ready for the offer at the end.
All right. Thank you, Rebecca. I want to welcome everyone to tonight's teleseminar. My name is Michael McCurdy. I'm co-founder of TestingMom.com and New York City gifted and talented parent expert. And again, welcome to tonight's teleseminar. We have a great lineup here tonight with Dustin, and he's going to tell us how we can make our kids not only smarter, but also healthier. Hi, Dustin. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on this.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for participating in this teleseminar for our TestingMom.com members. We really appreciate it. You know, part of what we do at TestingMom.com is to help parents prepare their children for gifted and talented testing and private school admissions testing. Can you talk about, from a health perspective, what parents should do as far as exercises they should do with their child every day to increase the blood flow so they do also are healthier, but also do better on these tests that they're going to be taking?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think I want to take a step back even before I answer that question. You know, just to kind of share my heart and my philosophy kind of on a big scale before we kind of go into the exercises, which is, you know, my belief is I've worked with well over 5,000 moms now from around the world, and the kids who are the healthiest, the smartest, the fittest, all of that, are the ones who most of the time are ones who have parents that model that behavior. Okay, so if, you know, if you're listening to this and you're trying to get your kids to eat healthy foods or exercise, and you're the one who's, you know, eating fast food and eating processed food and you know, sitting on your butt and being lazy, and then you're telling them, you know, to be active and to be eating, you know, your fruits and vegetables and being healthy, it's obviously a double standard, and it's very tough to get those kids to do it. So I just want to encourage everyone listening that if that is the case, that, you know, you aren't quite at your maximum level that you want to be, really put a focus in on that, because you're going to be, you know, fighting an uphill battle if you just try to get your kids to do the right things and you're not doing it yourself. And that's really what I'm, you know, really passionate about, is helping, you know, moms and dads live that healthy lifestyle and then put those, you know, share those healthy habits with their kids. So I don't know if we're getting a little feedback too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Rebecca, we're getting a little feedback. Can you? I don't know if it's your phone or mute.
Maybe
try
mute or something. But you asked what types of exercise, and now I get this question a lot with you know, kids who are pretty young from their parents. They're concerned about, you know, certain exercises at certain ages. From what I understand, those of you listening, you know, you may have kids from like 3 years old up to maybe early teenagers, and so there's, you know, quite a wide variety there, and, you know, different recommendations for different ages, but from a strength training perspective, I don't believe there's a lower age limit that, you know, kids can't be participating in some sort of resistance training exercise. But there is a certain age where their attention spans aren't good enough for it, I guess. And so if it's, you know, generally between, I've seen usually between 5 and 8 years old, somewhere in that range, they can start to, you know, comprehend things, be able to follow instructions well enough to do certain exercises. And if they're not quite ready for that, then it's a lot more just kind of body weight, just a lot more fun, more kind of game type activities. So three exercises that I really recommend. You may have seen it on the video clip that I showed before, but some sort of body weight squat exercise. You know, squatting is a relatively natural movement for humans, and, you know, we don't do it enough. And so just helping kids get into a proper squat position where they sit back, sit down, get down nice and low, keeping the feet on the ground, weight in their midfoot area, and just, you know, squatting at least so that their thighs are parallel to the ground, and then just standing up. Pretty simple, pretty easy. And that's going to get the blood flow just, you know, pumping, especially through the lower body, which is really important because they're our largest muscle groups. So they're going to elevate the heart rate, you know, of course burn calories, but I don't really talk about calories with kids. I don't think they should really have to worry about weight when they're growing up like that. So squats are a great one. And then some sort of upper body exercise is super important. And, you know, there's a lot you can do, and I'm just focusing right now on body weight exercises. But one of those might be a push-up, for example. Most kids, you know, learn push-ups in school. But what you can do to kind of make it more interesting, which some of you may have seen on the video, is where, you know, you or maybe you have two kids, they face each other, and they do a push-up, and they give a high five, a little more interaction, a little bit more fun. And, you know, you can count if the kids are really young, or you can spell different things. You can do multiplication as they do the exercises, just to not only get the muscles working, but also to get the brain working as well. And then another good exercise to do is something for your core, something for the abdomen area. And so I really enjoy some sort of plank movement, and side planks in particular. So side plank is basically where you have yourself or your kid lay on your side, and you put your forearm on the ground, and you press the rest of your body up while keeping your hips stacked. And you lift your hips up and just hold that position. So there's the side plank, and there's also the front plank, which kind of looks like a push-up. So those are three exercises that will, you know, help your child and yourself, you know, become well-rounded from a strength training standpoint.
Yeah, that's great. I could actually see parents practicing these practice questions with their children while they're doing planks. You know, the child could be asking the mom or dad a question while they're doing a plank, and then the parent could actually be asking the child a question while they're doing a plank as well, kind of make the interactivity a little fun, you know, a little more physical during the practice questions. I know one of the big questions we get from parents, Dustin, is what we call test stamina. And test stamina, for those parents on the phone who don't know, is just to make sure that your child's able to sit still throughout the entire test. Many parents, especially the young 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds who take the gifted and talented test, may have to sit up to an hour and a half. And most children that age get very fidgety. Dustin, can you tell us a little bit about how these exercises and how exercises can help concentration and actually help a child perform better as far as being able to make it through a longer test by sitting still?
Yeah, absolutely. In a moment, we'll be talking more about the nutritional side of things and you know, preparing for the test. But before that, from an exercise standpoint, you know, really getting those kids active, I wouldn't say like right before the test, but, you know, within the day or two before, if those kids are active, you know, consistently, they're going to have a little bit less, you know, steam pent up and want to, you know, go crazy and not focus. And exercise in itself, you know, is a discipline. And so the more kids can get into some sort of routine of consistent exercise, it's just teaching that discipline so that when they do have to, you know, go and sit for an hour and a half and focus on, you know, test questions, they develop that discipline in other areas of their life that'll carry over. So, but from an exercise standpoint, you know, you could definitely do the strength training exercise that I talked about. I mean, there's things you can do with dumbbells, light dumbbells, or soup cans if your kids are really young, jump roping, just playing tag in the yard. And there's a lot of things that you can do with your parent or with your child. Maybe you can take them to the park and, you know, try to do pull-ups with them. Or one thing I really enjoy doing, getting my clients to do, you got to be a little careful with this because there's potential for danger there, but is to get the family pushing a car. I know that sounds silly, but getting kids involved, getting the adults, you know, just pick a flat ground, have someone in the car who can put the brake on, but just have the kids, you know, from behind the car as long as one adult is at least pushing too. And kids love that. It's great exercise. It's really fun and something that's really memorable that kids are going to talk about.
Oh, definitely, especially for those parents in New York City. They can push a cab down Fifth Avenue. So.
I can picture that right now.
Or the bus. Yeah. So no, that's a great insight. So as far as, let's talk a little bit about diet, Dustin. I know that's very important, and obviously physical health, you know, physical activity goes hand in hand with diet and making sure that the child is eating healthy, not only just before the big test, but also before school to make sure the breakfast is, you know, adequate to make sure that their optimal thinking power prior to taking a test and also attending school in general. So can you tell us the breakfast that all kids must avoid before the big test?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I ask this question a lot to moms. I say, you know, are you eating healthy or are you feeding your kids healthy? And generally, they'll say yes, because most moms would not want to admit or knowingly, you know, feed their kids unhealthy. And I say, oh, great. You know, what are you feeding them? And this is kind of a typical answer I hear. Some sort of cereal, and maybe it's whole grain or maybe it's not. Maybe it's what I would call a sweet cereal. That when I grew up, we were able to have our sweet cereal on Saturdays only. But now a lot of kids have it, you know, every day. But, you know, some sort of cereal. Then they have maybe skim milk with it. And then maybe they have a banana and then a cup of orange juice, for example. That's an answer I get quite often. And, you know, they're very proud that, you know, they got some orange juice, got some, you know, some fruits in there and stuff. And then I come and burst their bubble and tell them that basically they're giving their kids a ridiculous sugar high that is going to, you know, if continued long-term, potentially cause problems, and short-term is going to definitely cause, you know, the kids to not be able to focus, to have, you know, bouncing off the walls, but then also crashing a little bit after. And one of the keys to nutrition, just in general, and this is for adults too, but it's super important for kids because kids' bodies are so much smaller, so they react even more dramatically than adults, is to maintain your blood sugar levels. And I teach this a lot for parents, for themselves, just to maintain their energy levels throughout the day. From a weight loss standpoint, one of the biggest problems or biggest reasons we gain weight is that we are increasing our blood sugar levels very quickly. And when our blood sugar levels are brought up very quickly, our insulin has to kick in to lower that blood sugar because it's poison if it's too high. And if it's not getting burned off right away, it's going to get stored as fat. And so, and then you have the crash, too, with that. And we've all experienced that after maybe a lunch or something. So what is a good breakfast? It needs to be very balanced, and it needs to contain a good amount of proteins and fats. Now, if you're eating carbs by themselves, it's going to going to turn into sugar. And now let's look at the breakfast I just told you about. You've got some sort of cereal, which is all carbs. You've got skim milk, which has some lactose carbs in it. And it's skim milk, so it has very little or no fat in it. So you're not getting any fat there. And then you've got a banana, which is one of the highest glycemic, which measures how fast your blood sugar rises, fruits around. And then you have orange juice, which is like liquid sugar going into your body. I really don't recommend anybody drinking orange juice just plain. You know, if you're going to eat it, or if you want orange juice, you know, eat an orange instead. So you've just pumped yourself or that kid with a huge amount of sugar, and really no proteins or fats slow that absorption down. When we incorporate those fats and proteins into it, it mixes in our stomach, and it really, you know, creates a slow release. And that slow release won't jack up our blood sugar levels. It won't have, you know, give us that crash, and it won't give us quite that high. It's more of a sustainable long-term burn. And that's what we're looking for when a kid takes a test, or any time, you know, really. So what's a good meal? I'm a huge fan of eggs. And the reason I like eggs a lot is because and cage-free organic eggs. If there's, you know, places around where you can get it from a local farmer, that's certainly ideal. And eating the whole egg, it's not going to mess your cholesterol levels up. The yolk has most of the nutrients in it. So yet an egg contains a good amount of fats, good fats, as well as some good amount of protein. So that's usually, I like to use that as a base. You know, you can scramble it, any kind that the kids like. And then if you can add a little bit of complex carbs in there, maybe that's some oatmeal or a piece of whole wheat bread. One of my favorite breads, I don't know if anybody listening has heard of this, or you, Michael, have heard of this, but have you heard of Ezekiel bread?
Oh, yes, I have it at Whole Foods. I've heard of it.
Wonderful. They've actually got it pretty much at every grocery store around. I've hardly ever been in one. But the tricky part is it's in the frozen section because there's no preservatives in it, and it's all sprouted grains, and it's really hearty, it's a little chewy. Some kids like it. You know, sometimes you have to ease them into it, but most after a little bit will be able to get used to it. And so that's a great one. You could put maybe a nut butter on that. Peanut butter would be the worst choice of them, but it's still okay. You know, a lot of kids have allergies to it, but there's much better butters out there almond butter, cashew butter, something like that. And then, you know, that right there could be the kids' meal. I would, encourage a glass of water or two with that. Now, if it's going to be right before a test, though, you know, we got to watch the liquid consumption. If it's a time test and they aren't, you know, either really allowed to take a bathroom break or discouraged from it because they're really tight on time. So I would kind of limit the liquids on the days where kids will have to be sitting for a significant amount of time. If you are going to do something like a milk, I used to not recommend this, but I used to tell people, you know, to drink skim milk. But more and more research that's coming out is, you know, getting a fuller fat dairy product. So I recommend 2% or even whole, you know, milk, 2% yogurt. If you're going to go for yogurt, Greek yogurt is a great source of protein. And if you get 2% or full fat yogurt, it's got a great source of fat as well. So you can incorporate yogurt into the breakfast. But just really looking at it from a macronutrient standpoint and not consuming, you know, consuming some carbs in the form of complex carbs, but then also getting that protein and fat, and you'll have a much, you know, longer focus time, and your child or yourself won't have that high and crash, and you'll just overall feel better.
Those are great suggestions, Dustin. I guess one of the questions I would have is, many parents already have their daily routine on what their children are eating, and so all of a sudden making these drastic changes in a matter of just a day, you might get a lot of pushback from the kids. How do you suggest the parents to introduce these new ways of eating to their children without getting a lot of resistance from the child?
Sure. You know, it depends on the age of the kid and their intellectual level and what they can understand. But a couple of things, you know, science shows, research shows that it takes a lot of times potentially to introduce them, say, to a new fruit or vegetable. They might not like it. And so, like you said, you know, don't do anything maybe dramatic right away. Just change things slightly. So if you are giving them even white, hopefully you're not giving them white bread, but if you are giving them white bread, you know, switch to it, maybe a softer whole wheat bread. And if they, you know, become comfortable with that, and then maybe you go to a, you know, 100% whole wheat or Ezekiel bread option. And, you know, maybe if you're having them on Skip Your Jiffy peanut butter, which, again, hopefully nobody on this call is doing, because that's, you know, got a lot of trans fats in it. It's just highly processed, nothing good in it. And you want to switch them over to an all-natural peanut butter, for example. That switch can be challenging. So maybe you mix, you know, half and half. You mix some Skippy and Jiffy with the other peanut butter if the kids are really having trouble with it. Another thing, you know, again, depending on the age, you can start to explain just in very simple terms why something is good for them. And, you know, we never want to use the words like, this is going to help you be skinny. But I like to use the word energy. This is going to give you a lot of energy. This is going to make you feel good. This is going to make you, you know, strong and healthy. Sometimes I even, you know, use, like if they're into sports, for example, or someone older than them that they look up to, if it's a sports figure, say, you know what, you know, this person eats healthy breakfast, you know, alike, whatever you're trying to feed them, and try to use kind of more of the adult, you know, celebrity, someone that they look up to suggest that in order to be like them, you know, they should be eating these certain foods. So those are a few tips. And then, you know, if the kids are rejecting it, you know, there's studies that show it takes 7 to 10 times of introducing something to a kid before they'll eat it. So just keep, you know, being patient with it and keep trying different things. And as the kid gets older, they'll be open to trying different things out. The taste buds will change. They'll enjoy different textures more than other times.
Yeah, and also one of the things, you know, especially when we tell parents to prepare their children for these tests, Dustin, is, you know, we try to make it real life. And I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, having the children, you know, when they go to the store with the parents, help them actually pick out the newer items. I wanted to get your thoughts on that and see what insight you can give us.
That's a great idea. And I forgot one other thing with that before I get to that question, which is make food fun. So, you know, make crazy designs. You know, if it's like an egg and toast and maybe some vegetables, like make a face or something, you know, cut out holes in the bread and maybe put the eggs in there and, you know, maybe put some green peppers for some eyebrows or something. And just be creative like that. Kids love I just read a study. I forget where it was out of, but they took kids and then adults, and they had them look at pictures of food prepared on a plate, and the kids' emotional response was so much greater to how the food was presented than the adults. So presenting food is really important. But yeah, so I would encourage, you know, sometimes I know it's really stressful to bring your kids along to the grocery store, so maybe not every time, but have them go with and say, hey, you know, we can pick something out from this section. Maybe it's the vegetable section. You know, what would you like to try? Something like that would be good. What's really powerful, you know, if you're in New York City, I don't know how much access you have to this, but I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. We got a lot of farms around here. And either starting your own little garden or taking your kid to a garden or farm where things, you know, are grown can be an incredible lesson for them to kind of see, you know, how fruits and vegetables are grown or, you know, different grains. And that can just really give them a more of appreciation. And the last tip I have with that, too, is incorporating your kids in the kitchen. I cannot tell you, and here's my theory. I haven't heard this theory anywhere else. Someone else may have thought of it, but and just looking at America today and just how incredibly out of shape and unhealthy we are, I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it. But I believe one of the big reasons, I'm working with so many moms that just have no idea how to cook. They're clueless. And if you look at that, their parents grew up maybe in the 60s generally. And so in the 60s, we kind of shifted from, you know, more of a traditional home where the mom stayed home and cooked, and the mom became a working mom, and then, you know, TV dinners and processed food started to increase. And so as that mom that's now, you know, in her 30s was growing up, she was used to fast food. She was used to TV dinners, you know, frozen dinners, whatever it may be, and she didn't learn the skill of cooking anymore. And I see that so much now, and then they're now passing that skill on their kids of lack of cooking. So if you don't know how to cook, if you don't feel comfortable cooking, or don't think you have the time for it, I highly encourage you to make the time for it, because it's an incredibly important skill to have. I think just for overall family dynamics, you're sitting down at the table, you know, at night, really getting to know your kids better, your family is really important. So take a cooking class if you don't feel like you know enough to be effective. But having your kids in the kitchen cooking. And I'm really thankful. You know, I'm super passionate about helping moms get in shape. That's kind of my upbringing. That's, you know, my mission is to help 1 million moms get in the best shape of their lives by the end of 2015. And I'm very thankful for my mom, who at a very young age, I had myself and my three younger siblings in the kitchen, you know, helping cut things up, helping wash, helping stir, you know, whatever we were able to do, which was age appropriate. And I think it was like in sixth grade, she started to have me, like on Friday nights, that was my night, where I would have to, a couple days before, find a recipe in a recipe book, and then I would go to the store with her, buy the ingredients we needed, and then I would cook it, and with her, of course, helping. And then Friday nights were my night where I helped, you know, make the meal. And that just really empowered me to be comfortable in the kitchen, to appreciate food more, to appreciate where it comes from, and to be more conscious of it. So those are a few tips that I think, you know, if you guys are not doing right now, I'd really encourage you to do is to bring your kid into the grocery store, try to educate them, just keep it simple, and then incorporate them in the kitchen, getting them comfortable in there and something they're not afraid of.
Yeah, definitely. And also, you know, when you're working with your child, you're doing things in the kitchen with your child, it's also a great time to learn measuring, amounts,
yep,
quantities, comparisons, et cetera. You can do a ton of activities in the kitchen that are related to the COGAT test, the ULSAT test, the Stanford-Binet, the WPSI, the Naglieri, et cetera. So, you know, all the tests that we have on testingmom.com, all the great things that Dustin is talking about, there's so much overlap over the things that he's talking about that you can incorporate into your daily life that will also support not only better health for your child, but also help prepare them for the test in general by really incorporating these real-life examples as you go about shopping and then also cooking at home. Those are great, great suggestions, Dustin.
Yeah.
Dustin, did you want to talk just a couple minutes about an offer, and then we can finish it up here and start taking phone calls here in a minute from our audience members?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So I wanted to give you guys, you know, some sort of offer that you guys could take advantage of so I can continue building our relationship and to help you, you know, not only get in the best shape of your life and feel amazing, but then also help your child get in shape, get smarter. And so I've got a bunch of different DVDs. I've actually got 28 DVDs in total. But the ones that I, you know, would recommend you guys starting with would be what I call the Ultimate Buddy Boot Camp. And I run fitness boot camp programs here in Madison. I've got 11 locations right now. We've got hundreds and hundreds of people involved. And so I took some of the most popular, most effective workouts that we do with partners or in small groups and then put them to a DVD. And so these workouts are designed to be done in pairs. So whether that's with your child, maybe it's with a spouse, with a friend, whoever it may be. And it's just encouraged to have a lot of fun with it, a lot of laughing, and getting a great workout, of course, too. And the exercises are relatively simple, and you know, using just dumbbells and a stability ball. I believe in low cost, low size requirements. You can do it in your living room or basement if you have a basement. Even in a small little New York, you know, condo or apartment, you could put the DVD in. So if you go to my website, Dustin Maher Fitness, that's DustinMaherFitness.com, and on the left-hand side, I've got all my different DVDs there. You can certainly take a look at all of them. But the Ultimate Buddy Bootcamp ones are there. And I've also got the Buns, Guns, Back, and Shoulders, and those are short workouts that are about 10 minutes each that you can do either alone or with your kids. And they're the good part about that is that they're short, so that you know the kids' attention span may not be more than 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. So those are another great option. And so what I want to do is you guys can put the coupon code when you check out, when you at the checkout page, testing mom. So testing mom, no plural, testing mom, and you can get free shipping on anything. And it doesn't matter where you live, you know, in the world, we'll ship it to you for free. So I'd love to, you know, be able to extend that offer to you guys. And also, when you do that, you'll be getting my meal plans. I've got a 14-day fat flush meal plan that, you know, really breaks down step by step what you need to be eating or what you can be eating for each and every meal. And you'll have instant access to all of that once you sign up for it and take a look at it. It'll get downloaded right away.
Yeah, and then Dustin, I know as far as the eating portion, and you know, great information here, and I really enjoyed listening to it, and I learned a lot. One of the things I was thinking about while you were talking is we get a lot of parents, or not a lot, but a few parents who come into testingmom.com, and their son or daughter is taking the test, like, tomorrow. And, you know, at that point, there's not much preparation you can do. Why don't you talk about as far as like, you know, you obviously shouldn't be starting this the day before the test. This is something that is, you know, a lifelong thing that you should start, but just gradually getting into it. But this isn't something that you're going to be cramming for, per se, like a test. You know, just like preparation and test preparation, your child's going to do much better when you start practicing and doing these concepts over time. Your child's going to be, you know, if you want to talk a little bit about eating healthier over time, Dustin.
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you are listening to this and, you know, over the weekend or something, your kid does have to take it, the breakfast tips I gave you, those are very powerful. So you could, you know, as long as your kid is willing to eat the food, you could implement that and he would be much better. He or she would be much better off. And if he is not willing to eat some of that food, just make sure that you somehow get some sort of protein or fat into them and not just fill them with carbs. Long-term lifestyle, I mean, that's really what I'm about from a holistic standpoint. I tell parents, you know, who are especially like looking to lose weight, said, you know, I don't care if you can lose 20 pounds if only, you know, 3 months later or a year later you're going to gain it back. And it's all about creating healthy habits for a lifetime. And that starts with, you know, just, we have hundreds and hundreds, maybe even thousands of little decisions each day that we make that are either going to, you know, long-term make or break our success and our health and our, I believe, overall happiness too, because if we have a body that we're not, you know, proud of or isn't able to get us where we need to go or not able to think clear enough, it's going to really, you know, hurt us long term and you know, cause a lot of problems in our life. So, you know, from an eating standpoint with the kids, I'd say just, you know, continually having healthy options for those kids. I know a lot of, you know, those listening go to send their kids to private school, which is awesome. Just make sure if they are eating their school lunch that you know what they're eating. You know, everyone knows that public school lunches for sure, and I know a lot of private school lunches too, are just awful for you. And so, you know, maybe that means you packing their lunch for them and or having the kid help you with it. I actually, my mom and I, we would do that together sometimes. We would pack her lunch, my lunch. And so I was kind of learning again, you know, to make healthy choices. And just modeling that behavior, like I opened up with, you know, if you're sneaking candy in here or there, you have a candy jar at home that you grab, or, you know, you're driving by the fast food joint and you pull in, you know, a somewhat consistent basis, you know, those sorts of habits, your kid's going to be paying attention to. And once they become, you know, more of a teenager and young adult, the chances of them following in your footsteps are very high.
Yeah, especially with, you know, all the news lately, Dustin, over school lunches, and not to bring up a morbid topic, but the pink slime. I mean, it's awful. And, you know, we've been giving this to our kids unknowingly for years, well, many of us, including me. And, you know, as soon as I heard that story, I was like, oh, wow. You know, so it's, you know, things that we may even think are somewhat healthy that our children are eating may not even be.
Right. Yeah, really knowing kind of where the source of it comes from. I got one other topic I wasn't even planning on bringing up, but because you guys are so focused on really like increasing intelligence, increasing the brain, I think it's an appropriate topic and study to bring up. I don't know if you guys know who, because it can be a very sensitive subject as well, but Dr. Amen, have you heard of Dr. Amen before?
No.
He's one of the leading doctors in the world. He's good friends with Dr. Oz, Dr. Amen is the brain specialist in the world. And I've kind of not really developed close friendships with him, but you know, got to know him a little bit and his work. And he's, you know, cutting edge. He's working with the NFL on concussions, and he's done more brain scans. Close to 100,000 brain scans, I think, on individuals. And it's just really come up with some amazing breakthroughs in how the brain thinks, different degenerative diseases. But one of the things over the last, I think, 5 years that he's found, which shocked him and a lot of people, was that as a person or a child, I believe, I don't know if he's looked at children, but as an adult becomes more overweight, their brains actually shrink and get smaller. And then the cognitive function, the memory gets worse. And so, you know, I mean, I don't want this to be a stereotype, like, you know, fat people are unintelligent. That's not where I'm going with this. But for a lot of people who really follow Dr. Amen, who have been overweight, you know, maybe they didn't really care about the way they looked or even how the way they felt so much, but they were really keen in, you know, their intelligence and how their memory was affected. And so that was the turning point for some of them. So it's just an interesting study. I know we're talking about intelligence and memory and, you know, that kind of thing. So I just wanted to bring that up and encourage you that, you know, if your kid is continually, you know, living a sedentary lifestyle and, you know, eating unhealthy foods and is putting on extra weight, you know, long term, it can potentially, you know, decrease the size of his brain.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting research. Thanks for sharing that. At this time, we're going to open up the phone lines. And Rebecca, can you tell everyone how to unmute themselves if they have a question for Dustin, and he'll be able to answer those questions for us? Rebecca?
Hello?
We're here.
Hello. Yes, so we will be beginning our question and answer session shortly. And to ask a question, you just have to press *6, and then you will be placed in our question queue, and I will announce when you will be able to ask your question. So just press *6.
Okay. sometimes it takes a few seconds for people
to do star
six here. So, Rebecca, let us know when somebody is on here. And if you have any questions, you can also email us at help@testingmom.com. That's help@testingmom.com.
We actually have a question now.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the line.
Hi, this is Carolyn. I was listening to the diet plan for the kids, and my daughter was tested, and she's allergic to shellfish, eggs, wheat, and one other thing. So how do you substitute things such as the peanut butter and jelly that she's so light and give her a more healthy choice when she's allergic to the wheat, the eggs, and things of that nature?
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on what exactly, you know, she's allergic to. But you said eggs, wheat, was it dairy as well? Like, is she go dairy?
Dairy is fine. So she's been breastfed, and then we went to organic milk for her. She's never had the whole cow milk. Never had eggs, but she's fine with the egg products, but never had like a scrambled egg or boiled egg. Like today for her school, she's attending a Chinese school here in D.C., so the kids eat very healthy there, no cake, no junk. So they had an egg sandwich today, and I looked at the menu, so I felt bad, but I had to send a turkey and Swiss cheese in for her today because I couldn't allow her to eat the egg sandwich.
So has she had adverse reactions to the eggs?
No, we just had blood drawn at the doctor's, and it came back very high with egg, very high for wheat.
Sure.
And shellfish.
Shellfish, sure. Well, shellfish, that's a pretty easy one. It's not quite as common. But the wheat, you know, definitely a bigger issue. There are, you know, gluten-free options for different, you know, you could do a rice bread if you wanted to go with a different type of bread. She can't have peanuts, or peanuts are okay?
She had peanut butter and jelly before, and I just heard what you said about the brand name peanut butter. Jelly stuff is not really healthy. So now I see a lot of people serving this stuff called Nutella butter or something. It's kind of chocolate.
It's awful for you. That is the
really?
Biggest one. So look on the Nutella. Sorry to burst your bubble on that, but look on the label of Nutella. They have done the most brilliant marketing job to make that stuff sound like it's healthy. The first ingredient, if I'm not mistaken, is sugar. So it's awful for you. So it's so much sugar, and just stay away from that. But, you know, go to at least a natural peanut butter. But, again, an almond butter or a cashew butter is going to be generally a better option. Just because peanuts have high allergies. And also, I don't really understand the technical side, but peanuts have more mold spores to them. Maybe that's why they're more allergic. You know, kids are more, or adults are more allergic to it. But peanuts are kind of the low end of the quality of nuts. So, you know, you could go walnuts, macadamias, any other, you know, nut besides a peanut is better. But, you know, a lot of kids enjoy cashew or almond butter.
I'll pick up some of those from Whole Foods over the weekend.
Yeah, and I would just look at, you know, getting some gluten-free options. But just because something's gluten-free does not necessarily make it healthy. You know, it can be really processed as well. But, you know, if she's not, I don't know. I mean, you know, talk to your doctor. I'm not a doctor, but if she's not having adverse reactions to eggs, for example, you know, I'd be curious how accurate, you know, those tests are all the time. But
right.
You know, you may want to eventually get it retested because things can change as well, you know, sometimes.
Right, because I want to introduce her to salmon because we eat a lot of grilled salmon, big salmon.
Yeah.
And I gave her a sample one time and I let her try it. And I walked to the kitchen and came back and her whole eye had swelled up like an egg.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah.
So I immediately gave her some Benadryl and it went away, so I've been afraid to, like, give her salmon.
Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe some more tests, but just trying to, you know, at least eliminate some of that wheat product to start with and kind of figure out what exactly is going on. Hopefully she'll grow out of it at some point.
Okay, well, I have to give myself one kudo punch on the phone. She's never had candy before, even though some products have sugar, but she doesn't eat candy, and she's a fruit and salad girl.
Good for you. Well, you're setting up for a great, healthy life, so that's great.
Thank you.
All right, Dustin, it looks like we have another caller in the queue, but also you brought up an excellent point as far as these companies and the way they package their merchandise, I mean,
yeah.
and their foods, it's just like, I don't know, I've kind of noticed the more they say, you know, the more they market how healthy it is, usually it's the more unhealthy
right.
the product is.
Right.
They're masters at it. And it seems
yeah.
like everything now is gluten-free. You know, a few years ago, everything was fat-free, gluten-free
yeah.
seems to be the catchphrase of the year, at least.
Yeah.
You know, you brought up a good, I mean, reading labels is so important, and I'm by far not a nutritionist, but, you know, the simple things you can do, just because the package says fat-free, gluten-free, does not necessarily mean it's going to be healthy.
Right, absolutely.
All right, then
yeah.
We have another caller on the line. Caller?
Okay,
hi.
Caller.
Yes, hello?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Hi, this is Mel. I have a question about, I'm trying to visualize a routine. I also have a six-month-old and a nine-year-old. But I'm trying to visualize a morning routine. Should he exercise, for example, before his breakfast, or should he eat his breakfast and then exercise and then go to school
yeah.
to class?
Good
and
question.
If so, how long would you recommend that he exercise?
Yeah. So this is the nine-year-old you're saying, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I would say it kind of depends on his schedule and what you know, if he's a really morning person and you know, gets up early enough to exercise before. I would exercise before he eats breakfast, because if you're going to exercise right after, you know, the food needs to time for digestion. But I would actually, you know, probably prefer, I think he would probably prefer an afternoon workout, you know, maybe after school a little bit. That'd
mm-hmm.
probably be a better time for him, because then he wouldn't have to get up, you know, earlier to work out. And from a length standpoint, you know, like 15 minutes or so, 15 to 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's wanting to do more, if he's got more energy that day, or, you know, you could probably go to 30 minutes. Or if you're just doing more of, like, just active activities, you know, you certainly could do longer than that. But if it's more of like a, you know, body weight or some, you know, light resistance, strength training, you know, 20 or so minutes is plenty of time. And then also I want to quick mention, I forgot to mention before, for your six-month-old, one of my programs I've got is called Baby Tone, and it's using your baby as resistance. So you can get a great workout with holding your baby. We've got like 8-10-minute workouts that you can do, you know, again, either holding them or, you know, in a stroller or in one of those, you know, kind of pouches, you know, backpack, either on the front or back. So that's another option for you to kind of bond with your littlest baby and still get a workout.
And for that, also working out before eating? That's okay too.
Yeah, so there's a lot of controversy, a lot of studies on it. Now,
mm-hmm.
I believe that you shouldn't necessarily eat on a completely, or sorry, work out on a completely empty stomach.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like, I like protein drinks, for example, where you put some sort of, you know, whey protein with some fruit in there. But, you know, you could just have like a piece of fruit or maybe a little bit of yogurt, just a few calories to kind of, you know, give you some energy for the workout, so you're not working out on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
But generally, yeah, you don't want to work out right after you've eaten, generally, unless it's just a little pre-workout, you know, snack.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to eat like a full meal, you want about 90 minutes or more before you exert yourself.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great. We have another question, Dustin.
Great.
Let's see. Press, is it star six, Rebecca? Or?
Yes, it is star six.
Yeah,
hi, this is
Debbie. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. My daughter is kind of a picky eater, and, you know, it's funny you mentioned Nutella because that's what she loves. and she doesn't like peanut butter, so that's good, I guess. So I'm looking for, if you could give me some ideas on what to send for lunch.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, I would definitely, does she like any sorts of fruits?
Oh, yeah, she loves bananas, strawberries, blueberries, cantaloupe.
Wonderful. So any sort of berry from a, you know, this is getting a little technical, but from a lower glycemic standpoint, berries are going to be great for you. It's going to have a little more, or great for you and for your kids. It's going to have more fiber and not affect your blood sugar levels as much. So berries,
okay.
if you just Google like low glycemic fruits, you can get the whole list. But berries are good, like apples are good. Bananas, again, it's fine to have kids have bananas, but they are going to be one of the highest sugar content foods out there. You could do, so she doesn't like peanut butter. I mean, one thing you could try is maybe an almond butter or a cashew butter. I don't know if it's too similar, but like ants on the log, for example, if you've tried that before, you know, using some celery, putting some sort of, of nut butter on, and then maybe putting some craisins or even some raisins on there. Does she do sandwiches?
Well, that's the thing. She the only sandwich she likes to eat is like a chicken cutlet sandwich, because that's the only thing I make for her. We don't eat beef and pork, and then turkey is kind of up in the air.
Sure. So maybe you could try to get, you know, if she was able to eat like a nitrate-free deli meat, for example, maybe some thinly sliced, I don't know if she would do roast beef, or you don't do any beef products?
No.
Okay. So sliced turkey or sliced chicken, thinly sliced. And then you could try to put on, you know, if she does tomatoes or maybe some spinach, I don't know if she would eat some spinach on there. And then instead of using mayo, you can maybe try some mustard, potentially.
Yeah, she likes honey mustard.
Okay. So that would be one option. Let's see here, what else you could do. I try to, you know, try to stay away from, like, cookies, of course, and the crackers.
Oh, yeah,
I know. Yeah, you would stay away from that.
The school doesn't recommend spending that either. I was thinking about, like, how about the string cheeses? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love string cheese because it's prepackaged for you, especially for adults. We're really good at overeating on cheese. So when string cheese is prepackaged. And I would recommend getting the regular kind and not the reduced fat, just for the reasons I've mentioned today already. You know, increasing the fat content is not a bad thing. Actually, over the last 30 or 40 years, Americans have reduced their fat intake by about 30%. And, you know, obviously it's not helped our bellies out at all. So, you know, keeping the fat content, as long as it's good fat, is great. So, you know, if you could get some sort of organic grass-fed string cheese, that's going to certainly be much better, because the problem with most dairy products here in America is that they're highly processed, they're, you know, homogenized and all that. But string cheese is definitely a good option.
Okay, and one more question. How much milk, I do give her 2%, so how much milk should she have every day? She's 4 years old.
Yeah, it's a great question. There's going to be different philosophies on it. I mean, I know some believe that, you know, some people believe that you know, humans should not have cow's milk at all. So some go to that extreme. But, you know, I would say probably no more than like one glass a day, something like that, one cup a day. You know, you can also put in almond milk instead, or even like a rice milk, or even a coconut milk. Those would be some other options too, that wouldn't be dairy, but still kind of taste, you know, somewhat similar to it. And if you're going to get that, just try to get the unsweetened kind. Because if you get, like, the vanilla-flavored or chocolate-flavored, then it becomes a really high-sugar beverage.
Okay, thank you so much.
You bet.
Okay, and Dustin, we have one more caller, and we can wrap it up with this last caller, and then you can tell us about the offer again. And caller, press *6.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Geeta. I'm calling from Texas, and I have a question about a whey protein.
Yep.
I have a 4-year-old son, and he's kind of a picky eater, and I'm really trying to focus on his weight nowadays. So is it okay to feed a 4-year-old with whey protein, like, you know, mixed in milk? Is it a right choice? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whey protein is in dairy products. So adding, you know, it as a supplement, it's just increasing it a little bit. When you do get a protein powder, look for 100% whey, and then look to make sure that it's sweetened. If it can be unsweetened, that's totally cool. Otherwise, if it is a sweetened flavored one, that it's sweetened with something natural like stevia. A lot of them out there have like sucralose and different fake sugars in them. So if you have one that you know of, you can go to my website, Dustin Maher, M-A-H-E-R, fitness.com, and you can click on the supplements. I've got ones that I recommend that taste great and use stevia in it. But that's the one thing you want to look for when getting whey protein. But, yeah, it's totally fine for your kid to be having that.
Yeah, and I have one more question. Like, you know, we are vegetarians. Like, we don't eat meat. So is there any like vegetarian options to get like a protein inside the system, like
right.
other than yeah? Hmm?
Yeah, I'm. I'll say right off the bat, I'm not an expert on vegetarian, but you know, of course, you can do beans. You know, beans and legumes are
mm-hmm.
one good option for, you know, incorporate some brown rice into that. Do you guys consume like fish at all? Do you do that?
We eat eggs though, but not like
about,
any meat.
How about like salmon or any other kind of fish, tilapia?
Yeah, we are working with fish too. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. So if you know, get some fish in, that's some great protein. What else could you do? Quinoa, which is, you know, it's spelled Q-U-I-N-O-A. It looks like quinoa.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Has got a lot of protein in it. So that's a
mm-hmm.
great grain. It's got a lot of fiber in it too. Yeah, those are a few options, but admittedly, vegetarian diets are not my expertise.
Right.
Oh, and then
yeah.
also with the smoothies, I wanted to mention, it's a great opportunity to kind of sneak healthier items in there. And one healthy item you can put in, and I've never heard of a kid catch it, is spinach. Just throw you know, whole spinach leaves in there, and it's virtually tasteless. And it might change the color of it a little bit, but that's a great way to sneak some extra vegetables in.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you so much.
You bet.
All right. Again, we want to thank everyone for attending tonight's teleseminar, and we're going to have to close tonight. Dusty, we want to thank you again for giving us all this incredible, valuable information to DustyMom.com members. And do you want to tell us again about the special offer tonight you have prepared for our members?
Yeah, you bet. So I'm giving all you guys, you know, free shipping on all my products. And if you go to Dustin, DustinMaherFitness.com. That's my main website, as well as you could go to Fit Moms for Life. That's FOR, Fit Moms, FOR, Life.com, and that's where you can pick up my book, which also is free shipping. If you put the code TESTINGMOM in the shopping cart where it asks for the coupon code, just hit apply, and that'll erase all shipping charges. And so I've got, you know, a bunch of different DVD programs out there. If you have questions about which one is right for you, you can certainly put your name and email in the contact form on the website, and then, you know, just kind of give me a little bit of your situation, and then I'll get back to you with that. And then also, if you guys did register for the webinar, which hopefully everyone on this call has, and I know a lot of people are going to be listening to the recording of this, you'll be getting my fitness newsletter, which is free. And all I ask that you guys, you know, if you enjoy reading it, just share it with others, forward it to other people, encourage them to sign up for it. I put about 10 hours a week of work into it. It's kind of my labor of love, and I'm really passionate about it. And if there's topics that you want me to cover, you can certainly, you know, email me, and we'll, you know, I'll try to cover them in the future. And also that website with the DVDs, which is, again, DustinMaherFitness.com. There's over 500 videos and articles I've got posted there for you. So you can just search for any topic, and hopefully there's something there for you. And again, putting the coupon code in TESTINGMOM, and you'll be all set.
All right. Thanks, Dustin. And again, we want to thank everyone tonight for attending the teleseminar. And if you have any questions regarding TESTINGMOM.com or any other questions, just email us at help@TESTINGMOM.com. Thanks again, everyone, for attending, and have a good evening.